Last time on Jonathan Park and the Eye of the Storm.
Mayday! Mayday! It's the largest storm I've ever seen!
Storm? Mayday, it's a hurricane. Over.
We're with FIRST.
Nice to meet you.
FIRST?
It stands for Frequent Information Response and Safety Team.
Okay, gentlemen, we now have wind speeds of 133 miles per hour.
You mentioned a way to protect our families?
Helicopters will be able to get you and your families out of here before Ophelia hits.
What about you guys?
God will take care of us. Now go!
We got this too close.
Can't reach the other helicopter?
No, I can't get a response from them.
Our mothers are in there. Please!
Right now, the main thing we need to do is get this bird out of the air. We're going to have to land this thing in the middle of a hurricane.
Dear Lord, please be with the rest of our families. We trust them into your sovereign hand. Amen.
The window!
Yes, look, part of the roof's coming off!
And now, part two of Jonathan Park and the Eye of the Storm.
Where are we? Jesse. Jesse.
This is N-99-63.
What's going on?
Romeo.
Katie.
N-19963.
Where are we?
Sierra
still
Romeo.
In the helicopter.
Do you copy?
We're alive.
N-99-63 Sierra Romeo. Do you copy?
Nothing.
Okay, we need to head out.
What about us?
And our mom?
I don't know about them, but we need to get you two back to the first headquarters. They'll be able to help you. Now let's go.
Hello? Yes. Perfect. All right. Gentlemen, I just heard from our downed helicopter pilot. They and the girls are all right. And he's dropping them off here before heading back to the airfield. They'll be here in a few minutes.
Okay.
We're going live.
Shh.
This is Chris Beaumont with the Frequent Information Response and Safety Team. Heavy winds and rain of Hurricane Ophelia have devastated several areas of Daytona Beach. Although it's too early to tell, there have been thousands left homeless and hundreds currently missing. Homes in the Cedar Point area were hit extremely hard by flooding. There are hundreds already gathered at the shelter, but many more are expected to arrive. For FIRST, live from Daytona Beach, I'm Chris Beaumont. Okay, we're clear.
Look out the window. Here come those girls.
Well, let me handle the bad news, okay?
That'd be good.
Welcome back to FIRST headquarters, girls.
Hi.
Morning.
Have you heard from our moms?
No, not yet. Which is good news. I'm assuming the helicopter made it out of the storm just fine. I've got a call in to confirm their safe arrival in Orlando.
What about our dads?
And Jonathan!
Well, girls, I want you to take a seat for a minute.
Oh, no.
What is it?
By the time we got back here, they weren't behind us anymore.
Oh, no. Mr. Morgan, our families are okay. They're just out there somewhere.
Dad, are you okay?
You've got a huge lump on your forehead.
Well, that explains how I feel. Hey, you don't look much better. Do you need stitches on your cheek?
I'm fine. The bleeding's almost stopped.
Oh, son, your arm.
It's okay, Dad. It's just a scrape.
I guess we're not bad off for surviving a Category 5, eh? Okay, guys, help me up. Oh, thanks. Wow, look at this place. It's destroyed.
It took off most of the roof, and the front wall is completely caved.
Boy, we couldn't have picked a better place to be. Look at this wood beam. It sheltered us from all the falling debris.
God is good. Boy, I'm so glad that our wives and girls got away before this hit.
Yeah, I just wish we could give them a call so they don't worry about us. But our cell phones, it's still not working.
Well, that was one of the first services to get knocked out. Okay, let's see what shape the car's in and then get back to FIRST headquarters.
I think you're right. Let's go.
Whoa, Dad, do you think the car will still work?
No, but it's worth a try.
Oh, look at it out here.
All these buildings look like they were made of toothpicks. And a giant stepped on them.
Look over there. Our car's way over there.
The wind slid it all the way across the street and lifted its back end right onto the concrete planter.
And it wedged itself up against this tree.
Jim, I think if the three of us get behind here and push together, we can nudge it off this thing.
Okay, let's all push together. One, two, three.
Yes!
Okay, let's get in and pray that this thing starts. Here goes nothing.
Yes!
Right.
Can you believe it?
Just needed to be knocked around a little bit.
I guess it's hard to imagine the power of a storm like this until you see it in person.
You know, it makes me think about the worldwide flood.
Picture what would be happening if multiple hypercanes were unleashed on the world.
It must have been incredible.
Amazing.
With all the catastrophic forces at work, there would have been earthquakes, tidal waves, and volcanic activity.
Man.
And if all that was going on, it would have reshaped the whole world.
Yeah.
You're right. Just like Ophelia has left its mark, the worldwide flood would leave evidence everywhere.
And it has.
Absolutely. Think of the massive layers of sediment we find all around the globe. These sediments show great evidence of being catastrophically deposited by water and powerful storms. It seems that in some cases, these powerful forces move these sediments long distances. In the United States, these layers stretch over several states. We see the same thing in countries all around the globe.
Yeah, and aren't there some places where those layers are bent?
Oh yes, like in the Peruvian Andes. This limestone has been folded and bent. What kinds of catastrophic forces could accomplish this? And there's many others like it.
I think you've told us about some of those.
Jonathan, there's so much evidence that teams of creation scientists haven't even begun to scratch the surface. Things like Ayers Rock.
That's the formation in Australia, right?
Yes, and right next to it is another similar one. Ayers Rock alone is over 5.5 miles around and is almost 4 miles from the base to its top. It's made from sandstone deposited by water. Can you imagine the force of the waters that moved enough sandstone to form a 5.5 by 4 mile rock formation?
Well, that would be powers like we've never seen in modern history.
Not only do rock formations tell the story of the flood, but so do fossils, like at Dinosaur National Monument in Utah.
That's a dinosaur graveyard like ours.
Yes, and the Dinosaur National Monument is one of the most fascinating. There, you find mass amounts of dinosaurs, clams, snails, logs, and wood fragments all jumbled together and deposited by volcanic and flood activity. And there's hundreds of other sites all around the world that tell similar stories.
I guess Grand Canyon is the classic example, right?
Even though some evolutionists say layers were gradually formed over millions of years?
Yes. Also, the red wall limestone layer of the Grand Canyon seems to have been laid down incredibly fast, not to mention the many other layers that show evidence of turbidity currents and powerful crossbedding. This all pretty much shows that those layers were formed rapidly by large forces of water.
The evidence just seems overwhelming.
Evolutionists look at all this evidence and, based on their assumption of millions of years, still believe all these incredible formations took long periods of time to happen. But just like the Grand Canyon, I think these layers found all over the world make a much better case for the flood of the Bible. And so, Jonathan, when we talk about things like these super powerful hurricanes that we call hypercanes, we get a better picture of the worldwide destruction and judgment on the earth during the time of Noah.
Whoa! Speaking of floods, look at that street!
Wow, it's a river! Well, we don't need to cross that.
No, Kendall, I don't think so. Everything looks so different. You know, I think the hotel's just over there.
I'll bet the first team will be happy to see us.
Yeah.
Dad!
Oh, girls!
Honey, what?
Baby!
What are you doing here? You left in the helicopter.
We made an emergency landing. We survived inside the helicopter.
What about the other helo?
I've got to call in to confirm their landing and location. Kendall, you've got a pretty bad bump on your head. Are you okay?
Yes, but I think we all need a little first aid.
Oh, you poor guy.
I'm going to take a quick break and give these guys a little medical attention in the back room. Can you boys handle things without me?
We've got it under control. Miles, you deserve a break.
Okay, give me a call if you need me. Come on in, gentlemen. Here's some disinfectant and some bandages.
Thanks.
Well, your computer screen sure calmed down since I saw it last.
Yes, the dangerous part of the hurricane's past us. Now we're just continuing to model the storm fronts.
This is pretty fancy equipment, Miles.
It saves lives. By the way, Kendall, I overheard you telling Jonathan earlier about a hypercane model that you'd seen before.
Yes, creation scientists were trying to model the atmospheric conditions after the flood.
Well, as an atmospheric scientist, I'd love to hear more about that.
Mr. Brennan, do you need some more disinfectant?
Oh, sure, Jonathan, thanks.
Well, hypercanes are only part of their model. You see, the flood was such a huge event that they think it affected the Earth's atmospheric conditions for hundreds of years afterward.
Don't creation scientists have a good reason to believe there was an ice age after Noah's flood?
Yes, they do.
Well, in what way?
Miles, tell me what type of conditions would need to be present to trigger an ice age.
Well, it seems that the ideal conditions would be warmer oceans and cooler continents.
Exactly. I was discussing with Jonathan earlier about how the oceans were probably warmer due to volcanic and tectonic activity. And data from actual seafloor cores seems to confirm that this was true at the close of the flood.
Well, what about the cooler continents?
Well, if there was lots of volcanic activity during the flood, like we believe, there would be lots of aerosols, like volcanic dust released into the atmosphere.
Hmm.
That's what volcanoes do. Those aerosols would have reflected solar heat back into space, causing the continents to become much cooler.
Oh.
Interesting. That would create a very plausible mechanism to start an ice age.
And we find this confirmed by the fact that there is lots of volcanic rock in layers that creation scientists believe were laid down during the flood.
So, Dad, how would warm oceans and cool continents cause an ice age?
Jonathan, because of the warm oceans, lots of water would evaporate from the oceans, placing lots of water vapor into the atmosphere. Wind currents would carry that moisture to the poles. Because of the cooler continents, that water vapor would condense and fall as snow and ice.
Wow. Yeah, hasn't all this been confirmed by a computer model?
Yes, on a computer program called the Community Climate Model, developed by the National Center for Atmospheric Research, which helps scientists to model the Earth's atmospheric patterns. Similar to the hypercane model I told you about, Jonathan, they changed the ocean's temperatures to 86 degrees Fahrenheit and let the model run.
What did they find?
Well, Jonathan, they found that it would cause large amounts of rain and snow along the edges of continents and in the polar regions. Based on this model and other data, creation scientists believe there was rapid formation of ice sheets in Greenland, Antarctica, and North America.
How long do they think it lasted?
Based on their models and other evidence, they think it might have lasted several hundred years.
Kendall, that was magnificent.
Thanks.
Actually, I'd have to think about it, but that seems to be a better explanation than the evolutionary one that I've been taught as an atmospheric scientist. And it makes sense. I'd love to hear a more detailed explanation when we get past this storm.
You got it.
Oh, that's for me. Hello, first, Miles speaking. What? Are you sure? Okay, you'll call as soon as you have something, right? All right, goodbye.
What's up?
I don't know how to say this, but no one has made contact with the second helicopter.
What?
It never dropped off supplies in New Smyrna Beach, and it did not land in Orlando.
Oh, no.
Do you mean to tell us that our pregnant wives may be lost, and the helicopter might not have made it through the storm?
I mean that they are missing, and nobody knows what happened to them.
Dad, I can't believe Mom's missing.
Well, come on, guys. Let's go get her.
Hey, wait, Kendall, think about this. It's still pretty dangerous out there. And do we want to take our girls out there into this madness?
I'll go.
I love that you're willing to sacrifice your safety for your mother's, but that's a father's duty when it comes to the family.
He's right. The Lord calls us to protect our women and children.
Besides, this is the hub of information. If anyone's going to hear about where that helicopter went down, we'll hear it here first.
That's for sure.
Okay, well, what about this? What if Jonathan and I go out looking for them, and Jim, you and the girls can stay here and wait for more info?
All right.
Where are we heading, Dad?
Well, Jonathan, they were headed south to New Smyrna Beach. With the condition of the roads, it may take us several hours. So maybe you ought to sit back and relax. We haven't had much sleep.
Okay, Dad. Hey, Dad, when you were explaining the ice age to Mr. Morgan, he said that creationists may have a better explanation than the evolutionary one. What exactly do evolutionists say?
Well, Jonathan, they believe that the latest ice age began about 2 million years ago and ended about 11,000 years ago. And they believe that before that one, there were multiple ice ages about once every 20 to 30 million years or so.
So there were many different ice ages, and the last one ended about 11,000 years ago?
Yes. However, there's a problem with the supposed ice ages that took place before this last one.
Well, what's that, Dad?
Well, the geologic formations left behind from those older ice ages aren't at all like the ones from this most recent one. If those older ice ages were similar, wouldn't they have left similar formations?
How are they different?
Well, these older ice ages supposedly left behind certain types of rock layering and boulder deposits. But those formations are better explained by catastrophic forces of water deposits.
Noah's Flood!
Yes. However, this last ice age was different. It showed evidence specific to storms and glacier movement.
So it was an actual ice age instead of a flood.
That's exactly right. Creation scientists think they have a model that better fits the facts. Instead of multiple ice ages, the facts fit very well with evidence for a worldwide flood that then resulted in one ice age.
So if our model seems to fit the evidence better, why don't evolutionists consider it?
Well, it's their belief in millions of years.
How does that affect their thinking?
Well, a large part of the data used to interpret the last ice age comes from ice cores drilled from Antarctica and Greenland. You see, there is a very distinct layering toward the top of these cores. Most scientists agree that these layers represent the yearly snow deposits that have happened since the ice age ended. But below these distinct layers, it becomes much less defined.
So what does that mean?
Well, as an evolutionist, you might want to continue to count these inconsistent layers as yearly snow deposits. And if you do, it would take millions of years to lay down those layers.
So how would we interpret those layers differently?
Well, Jonathan, instead of each one of those inconsistent layers representing a yearly snowpack, what if they actually represent multiple quick snow deposits?
How would that happen?
Jonathan, remember how we've been talking about hypercanes and powerful storms that took place after the flood?
Yes.
Could it be that these storms deposited the snow and ice very rapidly, over a few hundred years instead of over millions of years? Each hypercane and storm would dump more and more snow, building up the ice pack. And the exciting thing is that when we look at those ice cores, they fit much better with the creationists' theory than they do with the millions of years idea.
Whoa, that is really cool.
All right, Mr. Brandon, we've got some news for you.
Okay.
Well, they found the helicopter. It made an emergency landing right here in Daytona on Nova and Loomis Street. Rescue crews picked up the pilots early this morning. The pilot said that when they came to in the helicopters, the ladies weren't there.
Oh, no!
Something strange. They wouldn't just leave those pilots there by themselves.
You know, you ought to give Kendall a call on the radio and let him know where to look.
Dad, look, the skids on the helicopter are bent. It must have been a hard landing.
I'm going to have to ask you gentlemen to step back.
Yes, sir.
Look, officer, my wife and her friends were in this thing when it went down. Have you seen them?
Oh, so you're one of the husbands. No, I was assigned to guard this helicopter long after everyone was gone.
Thank you, officer. Jonathan, let's get back on the road and call Jim on the radio and let him know there's no sign of them here.
Yes, sir.
Jim! Jim, are you there?
Kendall, where are you guys?
Back in the car, crossing through Nova and International Speedway Boulevard. Jim, there was no sign of them at the helicopter.
They're just a few blocks west of the shelter. I need them to pick up a packet from the director there.
Kendall, Mainland High School is just a few blocks east of you. Can you guys pick up a packet from the shelter leader there?
Okay, I think Jonathan and I will make a quick stop there, get the packet, and get back to the search. Call me with any new info.
I will. Out.
Would you look at this place?
It's packed! And all these families!
Son, why don't you just wait here? I'll find the director, get the packet, and I'll come right back.
Okay.
Hey, kid, can you help me?
Sure. How?
Ever since I lay down on this cot, I've been too sore to reach down and get my glass. Could you reach it for me, please?
Sure. Did that happen during the storm?
Yes. I'm just glad to have my life. What about you? Did you lose anything?
Yes, I lost
my... Can I get you a blanket?
Mom! Jonathan!
Oh, no! Jonathan, you're okay.
Dad and I have been looking all over for you and Mrs. Brennan. Everyone else is back at the hotel.
Didn't you get my message?
No.
Well, the person in charge of the shelter was supposed to contact the first team and tell you that we were here.
Jonathan! I couldn't find you!
Angela!
Kendall!
You're okay!
Yes!
Martha?
She's here too.
Oh, how did you get here?
Well, last night the helicopter set down because the winds were strong. We crouched inside through the night while the wind spun us around. In the morning we woke up, but we couldn't wake up the pilots. Martha and I left to get help, but by the time we came back, they were gone. We didn't know what to do, so we wandered around until we found the shelter.
Let's get our families together and give the Lord thanks. Then we'll spend the next couple of days helping first and then head home to Santa Fe.
Please, Miles, Wesley, have a seat on our couch.
Yeah. What an incredible day. I've enjoyed seeing the dinosaur graveyard, and the museum was very interesting.
Thank you.
When you first told me about this out in Florida, I had no idea it was this large. And it's been good to meet you as well, Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
Well, like I mentioned in Florida, I'm a creationist, but I wouldn't call myself a Christian. Kendall, you explained the scientific evidence for a biblical ice age, but I never got to hear how you supported that with the Bible.
Well, while the Bible clearly talks about the flood, it doesn't say outright that there was an ice age. So it's because of the physical evidence that creation scientists believed there was an ice age after the flood. However, it is interesting that in the book of Job, there's a lot of talk about ice and snow.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't Job a descendant of Shem, who was Noah's son?
Jesse, do you have a Bible I can borrow?
Oh, yes. I'll get one.
Yeah, that's true. And many biblical scholars believe that he lived sometime between the Tower of Babel and the time of Abraham.
Which means he lived not too long after the flood.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this means he would have lived during the Ice Age.
Jesse, can you turn to Job 38, 22, and 23?
Sure, Dr. Park.
The book of Job talks about snow and ice more than any other book in the Bible. Okay, Jesse.
Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? Job 38, 22, and 23.
Okay, now, can you drop down and read verses 29 and 30?
Sure. Here. Out of whose womb came the ice, and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen.
Thank you. And Katie, can you read Job 37, 9, and 10?
Sure, Dad.
Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breadth of the waters is straightened.
Wow, Job talks a lot about being cold.
He does. As a matter of fact, there's several references to ice age-like conditions in the book of Job.
Wow.
So while the ice age is just a theory based on the scientific evidence, it also seems like it might fit well with the account in Genesis.
Exactly.
So, Mr. Morgan, do you mind if I ask you where you stand?
Well, not at all. It must be confusing to you all when I say I'm a creationist, but not a Christian.
Well, it does raise an obvious question.
I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. I see the evidence for a designer, but I can't accept the religious explanation for that designer.
Miles, as a scientist, I was on a similar journey. And although I don't have all the answers, I did find the complete truth.
And that would be?
The Word of God. It's the story of the designer, how he made the world, and how he desires a relationship with those he created.
Amen.
Mr. Morgan, can I share one of my favorite verses with you?
Well, sure, Jonathan.
It's from Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's not about our religion. It has everything to do with what Jesus has done for us.
Well, these are truly interesting perspectives. However, for now, I'd like to lay this matter aside and think it through once I settle down from our busy work.
Speaking of that, Mr. Morgan, it was fun to see FIRST in action.
Yes, they are very good at what they do. But to be honest, you guys weren't bad yourselves.
Yeah, maybe you guys should start your own disaster response team.
Hey, let's make a creation response team.
We could be the first one on the scene when an evolutionary disaster is about to hit.
There you go. Creation information to the rescue.
Hey,
you kids are on to something.
Well, that is an interesting idea.
Maybe FIRST could get the truth out about creation.
No, thank you, Ryan. I think we'll stick to easier tasks, like fighting Category 5 hurricanes.
And with this being hurricane season, there'll probably be another one very soon.
And since you all did such a good job at helping us with Ophelia, You're all invited.
Miles, I think we've all had enough of hurricanes to last us for a lifetime.
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Eye of the Storm. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Park and Brennan families find themselves exploring in the royal tombs of Ur, in Jonathan Park and the Temple of the Moon.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.